Well, good afternoon, church family. It's time for us to join together once again in our Wednesday midweek devotional. Today is February the 3rd of 2021, and we're going to be taking a look at Psalm 119, 105 through 112. Before we do, let's go ahead and just open up in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for midweek when we can take and once again refocus our attention and our hearts on your word. And Lord, we ask as we study these few verses for these few moments today, Lord, that you would encourage us, that you would build us up and challenge us to think more like you and to act more like you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in the next section in Psalm 119 entitled None. And verse 105 and following says this: Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Well, today is part one of this section in Psalm 119, and we're going to be taking a look at verses 105 through 108 in our time together today. Verse 105 is a very popular verse. You probably have it memorized. And it is a verse that we need to take a little closer look at to remind us of the truths that are enveloped in this verse. As it says, your word, the word of God, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, the psalmist here likens the word of God to a lamp and a light. We know that a lamp is lit to provide light, and light is what one sees by. It makes things bright so that we can see where we are and where we need to go. Sometimes we say that in relation to light, that is as clear as day when we talk about things and how we see them and the ability to see them clearly. And one of the things that we will find in relation to the Word of God is that it is clear as day to those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit is the one who illuminates the Word of God so that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Well, the word light here is the same word used in Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, where it says, And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and morning the first day. So that Hebrew word there for light in Genesis chapter 1 is the same one we find in our text today in Psalm 105, or 119, 105. See, we need to understand as we take a look at the Word of God that it is more than just a book. It is something that God's Word actually empowers us to be able to see where we are. That's why it's called a lamp to my feet, because it shows us where we are right now. But it is also a light to our path, so it shows us where we need to go. And so the Word of God does two things. It's a twofold action that takes place here as we read Psalm 119, 105, is that it not only shows us where we are, but where we need to go. And God illuminates everything so that there is no darkness. Just like he in Genesis chapter 1 when he brought everything into existence. And as we see there in the first day where he says, Let there be light, and there was light, the Word of God actually illuminates us so that we are no longer in darkness or have darkness around us in relation to who we are. But instead he sheds light even into the darkest parts of our lives so that there is no doubt, so that there is no fear, so that we're able to live as we should before the holy God of all. You'll notice there that it says the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You've got those two words, feet and path, as well in this verse. And when we think about feet and we think about paths, it immediately calls us to think about walking. So God's word gives us the ability to walk with God. So what does it mean to walk with God? Well, a few things came to mind as I was looking over this text and thinking about the entirety of the word of God. What does it mean to walk with God? It means that God becomes our heart's greatest desire. We can see this lived out in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So God's word helps us to walk with God because God becomes our heart's greatest desire. The more we apply, the more we take in, the more we meditate upon the word of God. Second, it means that we humble ourselves to God and do what or that which is good. Micah 6:8 speaks to this. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Third, it means following the example of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live like he lived. John 8:12 says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And fourth, it means walking in a manner worthy of your calling. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 says, as Paul is speaking, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So those are just four things that I came to mind quickly as I thought about what it meant to walk with the Lord. But see, all of this happens solely by the power of God. It's not something that man dwells upon or brings up of his own energy or his own resources. This walking with God, this lamp and this light, its source is God. And it's the power of God in and through us as his word transforms us and guides us not only to show us where we are, but where we need to go. Well, the psalmist continues on in verses 106 through 108. And I've coupled these three verses together because of the theme that they bring forth. It says again, and I will read there, I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my free will offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. So notice there in verse 106, we have the psalmist coming forth and saying, I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. Do you notice the language there as the psalmist is very resolute in keeping God's righteous rules? He's not wavering. There is no doubt in his mind. He has sworn an oath. And, you know, we've spoken in relation to our study in the book of James, as well as in the Sermon on the Mount, of the importance of when we do swear an oath, that our yes be yes and our no be no, that we do not just swear an oath and let those words be empty. That we not be found liars, but be found those who are men and women of integrity that keep our word. So the psalmist is not just uttering some empty words, because as you see, he says he's sworn an oath and confirmed it. So not only has he sworn that oath, but he's confirmed it through his actions. See, there is no ambiguity in his words, or a sense in which he leaves an exit strategy to get out of his words or his oath. He's confirmed it. It is proven by his actions towards the word of God, because he keeps the word of God to keep your righteous rules. Well, verse 107 goes on to say a theme that we've seen repeated multiple times through Psalm 119. And that is the fact that because he is a child of God, he is going to face opposition, that he is going to be afflicted. And it says here in verse 107 that I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. See, even affliction will not deter his commitment. Even affliction is not going to have him go back on his oath. an oath that he is confirmed by his actions, an oath that has been confirmed by him keeping God's righteous rules. And so even though he finds himself being afflicted once again, and he's calling on God to give life to him, this commitment is just reinforced all the more, even under severe affliction. It brings to light what we studied in Matthew chapter 5, in verses 10 through 12, where it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And we can also see, too, in the book of Acts, chapter 7, as it is stated in here, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so you do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute?" It's a rhetorical question. They persecuted all the prophets. And it says, "And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You have received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." So there is a history going all the way back to the very beginning, where those who stand on the word of God, those who stand in the truth of who God is, will find themselves facing persecution. But you notice there in Matthew 5, it says, "Blessed or happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." And the psalmist reinforces that because he says, "I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word." He knows that God's word is going to minister to him, that God's word is going to give him a heavenly perspective. God's word is going to give him the ability to stand firm, even in severe affliction, that it's not going to cause him to compromise, to waver, or to step away from what he has sworn as an oath and confirmed, that he will keep God's righteous rules. He will obey the word of God. See, God's word is a comfort to him. It gives life and it gives perspective. And finally, verse 108 says, "Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules." Notice the words "freewill offerings." See, the thing is that mankind has always loved having the idea of a free will. And you'll notice here that the psalmist says that he is giving a free will offering. And he's not just giving one, but many, because it's plural, free will offerings. And it's not just once, but it's forever, because he's asking God to accept his offering of praise. I like what Spurgeon says in relation to this. He says, "God's revenues are not derived from forced taxation, but from free will donation. There can be no acceptance where there is no willingness. There is no work of free grace where there is no fruit of free will." So in other words, as we find ourselves exposed to the word of God, as God's word does its great work, as it is a lamp unto our feet to show us where we are and a light to our path to show us where we need to go, what it does is it fosters an environment where it flows out of hearts that are grateful for what the word of God does. And so as a result, there is a free will offering, a free will donation, as Spurgeon put it, that is an offering of praise to God. And he finishes by saying, "Teach me your rules." See, the psalmist has a heart attitude of learning. He doesn't say that, you know what, I've already got this figured out. I already know what I need to do because it's all on me. No, he's saying, "I desire to know you. I desire to know you are the only one that I can trust to give me the absolute truth, to be honest with me, to not lead me along, to not feed me or fill my mind full of lies that are untrue." The psalmist knows that God will always be a straight shooter with him. See, there's also no self-reliance where God and his truth is concerned, because the psalmist isn't just relying upon himself. He is exercising faith and trust outside of himself, because he's saying, "O Lord, teach me your rules. Teach me your word." In other words, give me your eyes to see, give me your ears to hear, and give me your heart to follow. And so as we continue on in this week, as we are in the first full week of February of 2021, may our call to ourselves be that of the psalmist, for the word of God to teach us, that the Spirit will minister to us, that he will give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to follow God's word, which shows us where we are and where we need to go. Let's close in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for these truths today. We thank you for your word, which does minister to us. And forgive us when we don't spend time in your word, where we don't meditate upon it, where we don't spend time contemplating it, where we only pick it up when absolutely necessary. May you give us, like the psalmist had, is a resolve to spend time in it, because we realize that it shows us where we are and where we need to go. That it is a lamp unto our path and a light unto our ways, so that we know where we need to go. And Lord, may you grant each one of our church family that blessing and that bonus today to delve a little bit deeper into your word. And Lord, we know that it will not return void, that it will not disappoint, because it's your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you, church family, and we trust that this devotional will be encouragement to you, and we hope to see you, Lord willing, this coming Sunday.